Now let's continue on right here in the book of Hebrews. Let's come to Hebrews 4 and verse 14. Hebrews 4 and verse 14. Now this is the kind of relationship that we have with God. Now, we have many series, and Jim is anxious for me to announce as many as I can, because he doesn't have enough work to do. He's only 3 weeks behind. But we have the series, The Keys to Answered Prayer. And that is the whole foundation that we build on Christ. In our relationship with God the Father and Jesus Christ is prayer and study. Study, God talks to us. Prayer, we talk to God. And this tells us what we can pray to Him concerning. Now, if you don't have the series, The Keys to Answered Prayer, there are 21 sermons on that. And we go through the whole Bible, and we spend especially a lot of time in the book of Psalms. Because if you're not used to praying, the book of Psalms tells us how to pray. And if you're not used to praying, then what's going to happen? You're going to come across some difficulties you cannot solve on your own. And so you take him to God in prayer. Now here's the promise. Having therefore a great high priest who has passed into the heavens, Jesus the Son of God, we should hold fast the confession of our faith. For we do not have a high priest who cannot empathize with our weaknesses. We all have weaknesses. We all have temptations. We all have sins that come along. We don't intend to. You ever gone along and done something and said, oh, why did I do that? Yes. But who was tempted in all things, that's why he came in the flesh. That's why God made us after his image, after his likeness, a little lower than God, because the ultimate purpose is to be in the kingdom of God as a spirit-glorified son or daughter of God. Now, what we are as we start in the flesh, that little pinprick of life, what it's going to be at the resurrection and the glory that we will receive, the comparison between the two is like standing here on the earth and looking up at the sky and seeing as many stars as we can, compared to looking at the universe through the eyes of these great telescopes, which show us the greatness and beauty and power of God. Now that's the vast difference that it's going to be. That's why God doesn't want us to play church. That's why God doesn't want us to merchandise the brother. That's why God wants us, first of all, to have an individual relationship with God the Father and Jesus Christ through prayer and study. And then when we come together on the Sabbath and God puts his presence here, then the Sabbath becomes a real great spiritual fulfillment of God's will and desire and teaching for us. Was tempted in all things according to the likeness of our temptations, yet he was without sin. Therefore, we should come with boldness to the throne of grace. Think of all the graces that God has given to us, grace upon grace upon grace, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Now let's look at something else. We've seen how God has established law. Now we're ready to examine another phrase. Let's come back to Romans 3 and verse 27. Romans 3 and verse 27. Now this is almost like an opposite that sit in a conundrum to each other. So let's read it. Verse 27. Therefore, where is boasting? It is excluded. Through what law? The law of works? By no means. Rather, it is through a law of faith. Now here, law and faith are together. When in the normal explanation of things in Protestantville, law and faith are opposites. But this means the operation of faith. We have faith in the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. Now, God has set the law that if you repent and you turn from your sins and you turn to God by faith in the sacrifice of Christ, He will blot out your sins and remove them just like we saw there in the book of Hebrews. Now also, the law of faith means this, that we follow God. Now let's come to the book of Hebrews again. This is called the faith chapter, okay? Hebrews 11. Notice what faith does. The law of faith gives us hope, gives us belief, and grants us obedience all the way through here. Now here's the law of faith explained. Verse 1. Now faith is the substance, not just confidence, because this is homostasis, and that means substance, which then is spiritual substance from God, because we have the faith of Christ given to us, not just our faith to God, that's part of it, but the faith of Christ given to us through the power of the Holy Spirit, see? And that's the substance we receive. And what does this cause us to do? Is the substance of things hoped for. See? We stand in grace. We walk in faith. We believe in hope. We live in love. Stand in grace. Walk in faith. Believe in hope. And live in love. Now what this does, and the conviction of things not seen. And that comes from the Spirit of God. For by this kind of faith, the elders, that is those who were the patriarchs. Now the patriarchs all had an individual relationship with the one who became Jesus Christ. Directly in their lives. Abraham saw God. Isaac saw God. Jacob wrestled with God. David, when he prayed, he brought the ark and put it in a special tabernacle in his house. And when he was praising God with his psalms, he saw the outline of God back there under the curtains where the Ark of the Covenant was. A relationship with God. That's why they are all listed here. By faith, we understand that the worlds were created by the Word of God. And you can read in the Scriptures. And when you see the universe, as I've said, it's magnificent. So that the things that are seen were made from things that are invisible, and that is absolutely true today. They don't know the ultimate source of the power and energy of light, or even the energy in the smallest particle that is so small it passes through everything on earth as if it doesn't exist. Now that's something. Verse 4, by faith, Abel. Now notice what faith does. The law of faith does this. The law of faith does not have us ignore the laws of God or the commands of God. The law of faith impels us to obey God. See? Abel offered to God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, testifying of his God, testifying of his gifts, and through it, though he died, he is yet speaking. Now here's something to learn. The word of God as recorded in the Bible is the living word of God, inspired by God through his Spirit. Since these are the words of God, that's why Jesus said to the scribes and Pharisees who didn't believe Moses, he said, there is one who accuses you, even Moses, whom you say you believe, but don't. All right. He used the present tense. Moses is accusing you. See, because all of God's word continues on, is yet speaking. By faith, Enoch, who was transported so that he would not look upon death, and was not found by, that is, by those who sought to kill him, because God had transported him. For before his departure, it was testified of him that he pleased God. He saw God. He walked with God. He talked with God. So did Noah, which is the next one we come to. Now, verse 6. Here's also part of the law of God and the faith of God combined. Now, without faith, it's impossible to please God, for it is mandatory. No guessing, no opinions, no half-hearted beliefs, no babies, no yabbets. It's mandatory for the one who comes to God to believe that he exists. And that exists means everything that he is. Everything that he claims he is, that he reveals that he is. Okay? And that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. So this is part of the law of faith. Then Noah, by faith, after being divinely instructed by God about the things he could not yet see, was moved with fear and prepared an ark for the salvation of his house, through which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. Now, you think back of what they were doing there, and I think it's really interesting. God does some special things on occasions. Remember, God sent all the animals. They all got in the ark. God sealed the ark, and it sat there for 7 more days. And I imagine all of those who didn't believe him were out there chanting and yelling, you know, yep. Just like the Occupy movement. Yeah, 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 yeah. You said it was going to rain. Where is the rain? It hasn't rained. Day 1. Oh, look, it's day 2. No rain. Noah, you must be dingy. Noah, you must be insane. Noah and your sons, how does that animal fertilizer smell in there by now? You know? You're going to enjoy eating straw? 3rd day, 4th day, 5th day, 6th day, and on the 7th day, they're all gathered out there, and all of a sudden, trip, 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 and then bang! The windows of heaven open, and the fountains of the deep break open, and here comes water that is unbelievable. Now, recently, Northern Florida had just a wee little sample of it. 20 inches of rain in a day and a half. And that was nothing. That was like an eyedropper. No, let us in! Sorry. The door is closed. Then it comes down to Abraham by faith. Abraham being called of God to go out into a place which he would later receive for an inheritance. How late is later? How late is later? Yes, the kingdom. Abraham has not yet received it. He obeyed and went, not knowing where he was going. That's also part of the law of faith. You believe God and obey God in spite of the circumstances that you see, because God is capable of changing any circumstances. By faith, he sojourned in the land of promise like a foreigner, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the joint heirs of the same promise. He was waiting for the city, with the foundation of which God is the architect and builder. What city is that? No, Jerusalem. Okay. How far down the road does God look? Well, he's got all eternity to plan. A couple thousand years to God is, you know, kind of like a sip of tea. By faith also Sarah, even though she laughed, and the Lord said, "You laughed." And she said, "No, I didn't laugh." He said, "Yes, you did laugh." I mean, at 90, what woman wouldn't laugh? Okay. Received power to conceive seed, and gave birth when she was well beyond the childbearing age, because she esteemed him faithful who had personally promised her a son. He told her directly. Now, this is interesting in the Greek. Wherever you see in the faithful version, personally. Okay. This is a special verb, which is called a middle voice verb. And a middle voice verb is used in two things. Number one, it is something that cannot be expressed in English in the same way, because in the Greek, it's expressed in a single word. The subject, the verb, the mood, the tense, the case, are all contained in one word. And the middle voice verb, when it is something that you do, it is you are the subject of the action, and you receive the action back to yourself. So you become the object of the action. Now, we don't have any such verb in English like that. But when it's used in relationship to people, it means that God himself personally did this, and also for his own benefit. Because of this faith, there came into being one man, and moreover, came from one man, Bonnie, you can correct this. Because of this faith, there came into being one man, and moreover, one who was reproductive from one who was reproductively dead, descendants as numerous as the stars in the heavens, and as countless as the sand on the seashore. Now, that's what it's going to be. And I've often thought, what is going to be when Abraham is resurrected and he's on the sea of glass? And I think one of the things God is going to do, he's going to say, "Abraham, come here with me. I want you to view down on the earth. You see all of those down there? Now turn around and look at everybody on the sea of glass. These are all your descendants, your seed, as the stars of heaven. Now the ones down on the earth are the other half that I have yet to deal with. Unfortunately, I've got to correct Ishmael and Amalek and Esau. Now, there's going to be a great slaughter, but let me tell you what my plan is. They will have an opportunity for salvation, because at the end of the first 1,000 years of the reign of the kingdom of God on earth, I'm going to resurrect them all. And they will be all yours, just like I promised you. That going to be something? See, that's how God thinks. He thinks greater and beyond what we do. I mean, for a lot of us, it's a great effort to plan out a whole day. God plans out the whole universe, doesn't he? Yes. Okay. Now notice verse 13, and we'll look at some other scriptures after this. All these died in the faith. So where did Enoch go? To the grave. Not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off. And Paul talks there in 1 Corinthians 13, like looking through a glass darkly. And having been persuaded of them, and having embraced them, and having confessed that they were strangers and sojourners on the earth. For those who say such things make it manifest that they seek their own country as God promised. Now, I said they had opportunity to go back, but they chose not to. Likewise with us. All right? Let's see the grace that God wants us to have. Come here to Ephesians, the fifth chapter. Now there, the book of Ephesians, you could call the grace epistle of God to his children. Paul talks an awful lot about grace in it, and I've covered that in a couple of sermons. So I want to pick up of some of the things that I didn't do before. All right. Now let's come back to chapter 4 for just a minute, and then we'll get into chapter 5. Now he says here, let's pick it up in verse 22, that concerning your former conduct, you put off the old man. That's part of the law of faith, overcoming, believing what God says, which is corrupt according to deceitful lust, and that you be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Because that's where God's Spirit is. That's what conversion is all about. And that you put on the new man, which according to God is created in righteousness and holiness of the truth. So in this relationship with God, in grace upon grace upon grace upon grace, each one of us is a special creation of God. God is creating us in his spiritual image. We're already created physically in his image. But first he wants the character, because the eternal life that God is going to give us and the inheritance that we are going to receive requires the righteous character of God free from sin. So that's what we need to work at. So it says, verse 25, put away lies, speak the truth. When you're angry, don't sin. Don't let the wrath go down on your anger, neither give place to the devil. Verse 27, if you've stolen, don't steal anymore. Verse 29, do not let corrupt communication come out of your mouth. And in this day and age, that's a real challenge. Okay? But let it be good and needful for edification. Do not vex the Holy Spirit. That is to frustrate. In other words, don't try and go out and fulfill the will of the flesh and then come back and try and have God sanctify that bad choice. That works against the Holy Spirit. That frustrates the Holy Spirit. Oh, by the way, we have a series that I did quite a few years ago entitled How to Use the Spirit of God. And Jim and Betty were listening to it for Bible study here some time ago. And Jim said, we ought to get this ready so we can send it out. How to use the Holy Spirit so it's ready. Three sermons on a CD and transcripts. Brand new. So I'll announce a few other things because Jim and Betty don't have enough to do.
Four, we added another.
It's how to use the Spirit.
How to use
and how the Holy Spirit works is the fourth.
Yeah. Okay. I just got duly corrected. Three are on how to use the Holy Spirit. And the fourth one is
how the Holy Spirit works.
How the Holy Spirit works. Okay. It does work. It's the power, it's the energy of God. All right. Now, let all bitterness and indignation and wrath and clamor and evil speaking be removed from you, together with all malice, and be kind and tender-hearted toward one another, forgiving one another, even as God is also in Christ forgiven you. Now what do? Okay? You build on all of that grace. chapter 5 and verse 1. Now notice this verse, perhaps one of the most important verses in the Bible. Okay? Therefore, be imitators of God. Think of that. Now the King James says followers, but this means imitators. How are you to live the way God wants you to live? As beloved children, loved of God the Father, loved of Jesus Christ. Okay? Walk in love, even as Christ also loved us. Notice the high level of using the grace of God to live by. See? And gave himself for us as an offering and sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness do not permit it to be named, even to be named among you. Boy, and I think about some of the behavior that was justified. Wow. Completely different, right? As is fitting for saints, nor filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which are not becoming, but instead thanksgiving. For you know this. Now here's a warning. No fornicator, nor unclean person, nor covetous person who is an idolater has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Now then he says, this is the way you used to behave. Now verse 8, for you were once in darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light, because the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is well-pleasing to the Lord, and don't have any fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness. Rather, expose them. Now, let's see how we do this. Let's come to 2 Peter, the first chapter. 2 Peter, the first chapter. Now, this is the whole goal of the greater grace of what God is doing right here. Paul says, imitate God. Peter says, think like God. Let's pick it up here, verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to his abundant mercy, has begotten us again with the spirit of begettal from the Father and the spirit of our mind, unto a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, unto an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, reserved in heaven for us. What did Jesus say? If I go, I'll come again. But I'm going to prepare a place for you. The individual place in New Jerusalem for each of us, who are being safeguarded by the power of God through faith. That's grace in action. For salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last times. Okay? Now that's 1 Peter, the first chapter. All right? Now come to 2 Peter, the first chapter. That's why Jim was having a hard time finding it. Because I gave the wrong reference. I saw him back there looking back and forth. Where is he? Yes. I'm on another page that is almost as good. Now, 2 Peter, the first chapter, okay? Verse 2, grace and peace be multiplied to you. Now, how's that for grace upon grace? Multiplied. Do your multiplier. Double a penny every day for a month, and you come out with more than $1 million at the end, okay? In the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, according as his divine power. Now, this can only come through grace. There is no law which is going to bring this. All things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who has called us by his own glory and virtue, through which he has given to us the greatest, not just ordinary promises, not goody-two-shoe promises, not vain and empty hollow thoughts, but the greatest and most precious promises, that through these you might become partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Isn't that something? We are going to partake fully in the divine nature. We are going to be the sons and daughters of God, meaning we will be as God is. Paul wrote that when we are resurrected, he is going to transform our vile bodies to be made like his glorious body. Now then he tells us what we need to do. These are the things we need to do in faith. I'll let you read all of those. And if we do, then we have a guarantee of entering into the kingdom of God. Now, Paul wrote of this in a little different way. And so let's go ahead and finish with this in Ephesians 3. And Ephesians 3 is one of those chapters in the Bible that is so profound that you need to go back and read it and study it many, 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 many times. And as you do, and you go back there, you will see that it means so much more for you. And this tells us what he is going to do in giving us the divine nature. That is not only the divine mind, but the nature, that means character and personality. And in order to have that, you need to have a body of spirit, correct? Not what it says there in 1 Corinthians 15, that we are going to receive a spiritual body, physical first, then a spiritual body? Yes. Now notice, this understanding of our purpose and destiny, of grace upon grace, Paul also calls grace. So we're going to finish grace upon grace by going through Ephesians, the third chapter. Verse 1, for this cause I, Paul, am the prisoner of Christ Jesus for you Gentiles. So remember, it doesn't matter what your circumstances are. God knows them. He's going to change them all anyway, isn't he? Yes, indeed. If indeed you've heard of the ministration of the grace of God that was given to me for you, and that is contained in all the epistles there, how he made known to me by revelation the mystery, the secret of God, even as I wrote briefly before, so that when you read this, you will be able to comprehend my understanding in the mystery of Christ, which in other generations was not made known to the sons of men. God didn't make this known until Christ came, till the apostles preached. He didn't even reveal it to the apostles until way later in their ministry. Let them grow in grace and knowledge, grow in understanding, be inspired to write the epistles, serve the brethren, pray for them, travel, experience. Wasn't known. As it has now been revealed to his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit, so God revealed it to all the apostles. Peter wrote of it. John wrote of it. Paul wrote of it. Luke wrote of it. Matthew, Mark, and Luke. And then we have, following up on that, we have even the apostle Jude. All the apostles and the prophets. So this would be preached to the whole church. Now it's interesting that this knowledge was given to the whole church a few years before the destruction of Jerusalem, so they could have this hope before them, because the world was going to become disintegrated. That is, the society that they were living in was going to be turned upside down. Now, we're going to be facing that same kind of situation here somewhere down the road sooner or later. So this is why we need to have it in our minds. Here it is, verse 6. That the Gentiles might be joint heirs and a joint body and joint partakers of his promise in Christ through the gospel. of which I became a servant according to the gift of the grace of God, which was given to me through the inner working of his power. You see, even to preaching and teaching is to be an operation of grace. Now notice how he felt after receiving this fantastic revelation. To me, who am less than the least of all the saints, was this grace given, that I might preach the gospel among the Gentiles, even the unsearchable riches of Christ, that I might enlighten all, and here it is recorded for us that we can be enlightened, you see, as to what is the fellowship. See, the fellowship with God the Father, which is a secret. The fellowship of this mystery that has been hidden from the ages in God who created all things by Jesus Christ, so that the manifold wisdom of God might now be made known to the church, through the church, to the principalities and the powers in the heavenly places, according to his eternal purpose. I hear. It is laid bare as much as could be for us to understand, which he wrought in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness and direct access with confidence through his very own faith. So then I beseech you not to faint at my tribulations for you, which are working for your glory. So count all the difficulties you go through in this same light. They're eventually going to work out for the glory of God. For this cause, I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you, through the grace of God, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with power by his Spirit in the inner man. That which no one can take from you, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, and that being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to fully comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, to know the plan of God. That is the greatest grace. And brethren, though it's written here in the book of Ephesians, and this book now is nearly 2,000 years old, the understanding of it is for us today. They understood it to the degree that they could then. But now we can understand it to a greater degree. And to know the love of Christ, which surpasses human knowledge. And here is the end result of grace upon grace, to be filled so that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. And this brings us right back to where we started. And of his fullness we have all received, and grace upon grace. Now notice this promise. So never get down and discouraged that you forget this promise. Now to him who is able, and the Greek there is dunamis, has the power to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that is working in us. Have you ever just thought of something and lo and behold, somewhere down the road, God answered that thought? Wasn't even a prayer. Wasn't even, oh Lord, this, that, or the other. It was, oh, now that would really be nice. And God answered that. I've had a good number of them. Okay? I'm not going to tell you what they are. I'll let you have your own. Okay? To him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all generations, even into the ages of eternity. Amen. So that's what it means, grace upon grace. And I'm sure that there are many other things we could add to it as well. But this is what we need right now. We need to understand what God is doing in our lives. Then we can look at prophecy and see what is happening and have the strength to be able to go through what is coming down. And when it comes down, Jesus said, going to be a time such as not has been since the beginning of the creation of the world. So we're going to need grace upon grace to see us through that, and God will do that for us. For our overseas offices, please check our website, www.cbcg.org.